So, Dad, I understand you went to Woodstock.
That's an interesting story. I mean, this is back in 1969. And, you know, my sister had been living in a commune in New York. And this is during the 60s when people were experiencing, you know, alternative lifestyles, living in communes, you know, things like that, being politically active, stuff like that. And she had been living with a group of people called the Hog Farm. They got a call, though, about a couple of weeks later, from a promoter in New York who said that he was staging a rock festival, and he was concerned about security, but he didn't want security in the traditional way. He felt that people in that situation might, you know, be in states of various kinds that might need to be controlled, but he didn't want to just have policemen there. So he sort of pitched this idea to the Hog Farm that they would come up there and be, quote, hippie policemen, unquote. In other words, a gentler kind of form of security. And also be able to handle people who were upset or freaked out or stuff like this. So, lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, this is in late July of 1969, we get on a charter jet, 707 jet. You know, I mean, this was quite something in that period of time. I mean, nowadays people just fly at the drop of a hat, but that was kind of special, particularly because this was a charter jet holding about 50 or 60 people. So we go to New York to, you know, JFK on this charter jet flight, and I recall one of the fascinating things was there was a guy who played sitar, and the captain of the charter jet requested sitar music, and people were reading, you know, funny comic book stories over the PA, and it was incredibly funny. Anyway, so we get to Woodstock, and a lot of our job was, before the festival actually started, was kind of setting up a lot of logistical stuff, like where campsites could be, setting up fire pits, setting up garbage cans, helping set up, I mean, they actually had people who were plumbers, like setting up drinking fountains, and the site was quite beautiful.
Although not many toilets, as I've heard from later stories.
Later, they brought in things called Porto Sands, and these were, you know, your outdoor toilets, etc. And anyway, the interesting thing about the festival was there was a lot of preparation in advance. It was mainly kind of in a bowl-shaped meadow. This wasn't in Woodstock, although the name of the festival is Woodstock. The town of Woodstock did not want, you know, that kind of crush of people coming up there. So they rented a site near a place called White Lake, New York. And it was this big bowl-shaped, I mean, essentially it was a dairy farm owned by a man named Max Yasger. It was really kind of neat. He was a very friendly man who had a lot of sympathy to youth culture, and he was getting paid also for the use of his dairy farm. Anyway, the setting was a big kind of huge bowl-shaped kind of valley, and then they had the stage, of course, at the bottom, and so people were kind of sitting on a hillside.
Natural amphitheater.
Precisely. That was the idea. And then people started arriving, and nobody had any idea how big this was going to get, and within like a day and a half, the New York State Thruway was closed. Literally, there was something between 250,000 and 500,000 people trying to get to this festival.
And I thought that 101 was bad.
Yeah, exactly. You thought the 405 was bad. Anyway, the amazing thing was how kind of peaceful and gentle the whole vibe of the situation was in spite of this crush of crowds. There's a lot of free food distribution going on. One of the interesting things is that most of the people I was with in the Hog Farm actually ended up not seeing very much of the music. The music's, I mean, because we were kind of way up on a hill, and our camp was very kind of well provided for and kind of ensconced, and you didn't really want to leave the camp. One of the things about New York as opposed to Los Angeles in the summer is it rains in New York a lot. So as a result, you'd have rain, and, you know, there'd be these, you know, mud that would result. So a lot of the concert goers were literally sitting there mired in mud. And so you kind of, you know, at times didn't really want to get down there.
You had to pull people out of the mud, just dislodge them from the ground.
Well, the other thing that was kind of a problem was that just to get near the stage, I mean, you have like 200,000 people. Ironically, you know, you had this weird choice of, well, did you want to take several hours trying to work your way down towards the stage where you could hear clearly, or you know, did you want to be in more comfort up in the hills? So a lot of times, you know, I actually, you know, although the lineup of acts was incredible, I actually saw very few acts. I saw Grateful Dead. I saw Tim Hardin and Richie Havens. I saw a lot of the opening night stuff because it was less crowded on the opening night. But the musical lineup, of course, is now legendary. I mean, that was the first thing of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, the Grateful Dead, The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Can't Heat. I mean, these incredible. Anyway, so the ironically, you know, my experience was I actually didn't see that much of the music.
And you're one of the people who helped allow it to happen.
Well, I had a very minor role. I was just, you know, I was young. I was 16 at the time. And I was just kind of helping set up and being in the background. But the amazing thing about it was not so much the music per se, but just the incredible kind of good feeling that was happening.
Do you remember any particular events, stories about the story that you can tell? Anything?
Let's see. They blew out amplifiers at times, which had to be totally replaced. People were helicoptered. I think several women gave birth to babies at this event while it was going on. And then what we have is the cleanup on this was legendary. There's actually a picture of my sister.
How many
Rebecca.
Days? How many years did it take to fully clean this area?
Well, we were there for about
make it safe for the cows.
We were about there for a week afterwards because it's just a ton of.
How long
garbage.
Did the festival last for?
It lasted for what? About four days. You know?
And you were there for a full week afterwards.
Yeah, and there's a picture of my sister in Time magazine picking garbage up off the field, during the cleanup phase. Anyway, then we took the charter jet back to New Mexico and
lived happily ever after.